Good morning. The notices for the coming week are as follows. There will be no prayer meeting on Wednesday. On Friday, the church cafe will meet at 10 a.m. in the church hall, and the craft group will meet 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday's service will be led by Matthew Stevens at 11 a.m, and the worship warriors will also meet at 11 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Just a reminder that next Saturday, the 30th, is the celebration of life at Horsley Park Evangelical Church for Terry Osborne. If you want any details of that, then please see me afterwards. It's my pleasure and privilege to welcome Tony and Owenna to our service again this morning. It's been a few months, I think, so it's lovely to have you with us again. I'll hand over to you.
Good morning. Yes, it's been quite a long time, hasn't it? And I thought, now I introduce myself this morning, but I don't think that's necessary, do you? You haven't forgotten us, I know. Back to that later. But let's pray before we start. Lord God, what a privilege it is to come into your house to worship you. Thank you that each one of us here is special to you. Thank you that you know our names. Thank you that you know everything there is to know about us, and yet you love us. How amazing that is. So, Lord, we invite you, and we invite your Holy Spirit to be in our midst today, to be part of everything we do. Lord, will you speak to us? Will you encourage us if we need encouragement? Will you bless us if we particularly need a blessing? Will you disturb us if we need to be disturbed? Lord, here we are, wanting to meet with you in a vital way today. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when I was preparing, I thought sometimes there are children and sometimes there are not. And I felt very much that I wanted to share again with you. Now, I may have shared this before because it's nearly 8 months since we were here. So forgive me if I have. But I felt God said, do that again. So I'm doing it again. So the first question I want to ask you today is, do you have a shed? Let's have a look. How many of us have got sheds? Oh, very good. Okay. Next question. How many of us have a Dyson? Wonderful, aren't they? Yeah, get to all the corners. Okay. Now, this is an interesting one. How many of us have Harley Davidson? Have a Harley Davidson motorbike? Have you? Well, the link of all these things is that they all began in a garden shed. Dyson was first created in a garden shed. Harley Davidson was first. Did you know that? I didn't when I looked at it. And then I thought, as I looked into this, I felt that God was saying, I may not have given you the ability to make a Dyson or a Harley Davidson, but I have given you each one of your gifts. And what I want you to do is to use them. So the challenge from this is, each one of us needs to start where we are. Don't look at somebody else and think, oh, I wish I had that gift. Say to God, well, what is it you've given me to do? Use what you have, any talents you have. I think one of mine is that I can talk to anybody. As Tony will tell you, in the supermarket, in the bus queue, I never miss an opportunity. So, and I just like people. And then thirdly, do what you can. Because I do believe that God says to us, if we give him the chance, this is what I want you to do, now go and do it. It might be to knock on a neighbour's door. It might be to send a card. It might be to send an encouraging message or a bunch of flowers. There'll be something that God says to you, this is what I want you to do, now do it. So, Lord, I pray that as we begin this service and as we begin this week, that you will speak to us about what it is you want us to do for you. Thank you that we are never too old, never too unable. You're a God who pours his strength into us and enables us to do these things in your name. Help us, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So, as usual, we're going to sing together. Now, I want us to do, thank you, Lord, for this fine day we'll start with. But then I want you to come up with some other thank yous. I was talking to my son recently and I said, you know, being thankful doesn't just happen. We have to cultivate it. And as we cultivate it, God gives us more things to be thankful for. So can we start with that first one? Thank you, God, for this fine day. Is that okay? And please feel encouraged to go on as you go home today. As you're making your lunch, thank the Lord for something. As you're sitting down after it, thank you for something. Please be seated for the moment. You know, whenever we come, and it's lovely to be back. Amazing, really, because there was a time when we did wonder if that was it for us, but no. And I was thinking, wasn't COVID a strange time? Seems so long ago now, but the impact has been incredible. And recently, we've lived through another very strange times. Because hard times are often the greatest learning times. We don't like them. I don't like them. But they're often the greatest learning times. It's sometimes when we really learn to lean on God, because we have no other option. And I thought today, where do I start to share with you? There is so much I could have shared, but don't worry, you're not going to be here for 2 hours. Both of us were out of commission. It all started just after Christmas, and I had a very bad dose of shingles on my face and my neck. And the doctor diagnosed it as something else over the phone. So when I finally saw a doctor, it was well advanced. So I was ill for quite a while, and then vertigo hit. Now, if you've ever had vertigo, it's terrible. And it was hard, and it went on and on. So then Tony had his knee op. So we couldn't drive anywhere at all, because I wasn't able to. He wasn't able to either. And then after the knee began to heal, he had a terrible bladder problem. So some people kindly suggested to us, well, to me, that it had happened to us because we needed a rest. And I thought, what rubbish. I felt clearly that we were under attack. I can tell you that now. On every side, I felt the devil was going to have a really good go, and he tried everything. And years ago, I remember Tony preaching a sermon. I don't know if he did it here. But it stuck with me. And it was all based on two words, but God. And that was our experience, because people came out of the woodwork to help us. It was just incredible, because we couldn't drive anywhere, and we had the problem of going to the knee hospital, then to George Eliot. So we had so many appointments, and people just said, we'll take you. Don't worry, we'll take you. And it was a hard lesson for me to have to ask people to do it. And somebody took me aside and said, look, you've spent years helping other people. Allow them the privilege to do it for you now. So that might be a message for you today. I don't know. But if you're in need of help, allow people to help you. And also, we had so much prayer support. And there were blessings in that too. We have a couple of friends who we've known for years. And I wouldn't have said our friendship was on a deep level, but 2 years ago, he had a very strange illness and was really poorly, and we went to visit. And he wasn't the sort of guy who readily responded to anything spiritual. And we said to him, John, we'd love to pray with you. Is that all right? And his eyes filled with tears, and he said, I'd love it. So we prayed for him, and from that moment, God began to give the doctors understanding, and he began to heal. So he and his wife came to see us. And he's not a guy who prays openly. And they'd been there a while, I'd given them coffee. And he said, would it be all right if I prayed for you? Wow, I thought, what a gift. And he prayed a beautiful prayer. And our friendship has changed altogether since then. And then, lovely Alderman's Green sent us cards. Thank you so much for your support. And we had, the first card was forget me not. And it said, could we possibly? And I thought, how kind. It was just amazing. And then we had another. And then when we said to Helen, yes, we'd like to come back, we had this email which said, hurrah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Wait until I tell them in the prayer meeting. And you think, goodness me, how amazing that was. And what an encouragement. So we know that without people like you, we wouldn't be here today, seeking to do what God wants us to do. But all the praise and all the glory go to him. And so we're going to have a sung worship time now, as we always do when I come, to thank God for being so faithful. So the first one is, I've given poor old Dave trouble again this week. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful. It's a lovely one, though, Dave.
Just finding the music for the next one, which I forgot about.
I trust some of you know it.
Yeah.
Yes, of course you do. Just follow us then, Dave. Oh, sorry. Would you like me to do the offering and then get yourself sorted?
Yeah.
Stand if you're able.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. There's a line there which says that we choose to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. When times are tough, God gives us a choice. But you know, when we choose to recognize his goodness, it can change our perspective. So, the second song, I don't know. Well, I did know one, but Dave says you know a different one, so you're going to sing it to me today. It's Ancient of Days. The one I know is different. So he said, don't worry, they'll sing it to you and it'll be fine.
Well, I've forgotten I've said that, so that's fine. Right, here we go.
You can tell he's been on holiday, can't you? Thank you. What a powerful song. Absolutely amazing. If, like me, you do Bible readings, one of them this week has all been about the Ancient of Days and the God who has always been God and always will be God is the same yesterday, today and forever. And I felt as we were singing that, I needed to sort of encourage you because I meet Christian people who feel so downhearted about the situation of the world, and it is a mess. I admit it's a mess, and how God will sort it out, I have no idea. But he's still sovereign and in control. And I don't know whether you are aware of it, but I'm going to tell you. There's a silent revival that is happening. In the past, like the Welsh revival, it was one bug slum. But this one, it's happening quietly among small groups of people all over the world. And God is on the move. So if you feel downhearted, say to yourself, why am I downcast, oh my soul? God is on the move. And I believe he's in the move in this area too. And what he's going to do, I've no idea. But how exciting that God has a plan. You'll have to forgive me because I do get much more emotional than I used to. But it'll pass. Now, before we do the last one, Dave, I will ask for the offering to be done. Is that okay? So can we take up the offering now then, please? I should have done it earlier, but never mind. Such a generous giver to us. Thank you for so many good things in our lives. And we bring now a token of what you give to us. And I ask you, Lord, that you're going to multiply this and bless it and use it in this place so that they will begin to see yet more people come through these doors looking for you, wanting to find you. Bless it, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we come to the prayers of intercession and the sermon, I want us to sing. Let's remind ourselves of God's faithfulness. We're going to sing, Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. So I'm going to ask you to stand once again, if you're able, and we're going to sing this now, Dave, please.
Thank you. May the Lord be blessed as he listened to us this morning.
Welcome. We're going to come to a time of intercession. And I want to do something. I haven't asked permission, but I guess you'll help me. We've been told about Lynn Porter this morning, Stuart. And my heart goes out to you today. But I wonder if we feel, if a couple of you feel you could go and lay hands on Stuart, if he's willing. And let's intercede for Lynn as she's back in hospital this morning. So are there a couple of people who would go, or more if you wish, just to stand with Stuart? And then I'll ask them to pray, and then we'll have a short time of open prayer for Lynn and Stuart. And then, oh, how great. You'll have to speak up for us to hear you, if that's okay.
Father, we just thank you to Stuart right now, Lord. We thank you for the strength that you've given to him, Father. Father, we just ask that the blood of the Lamb flow through his veins, Lord, and give him strength and courage right now, Lord. Father, we also pray for Lynn, Lord, as well, that this battle she's going through, Lord, that you will be there with her, Father, that you will fill her, Lord, you will let the Spirit flow through her, Lord. Father, let the blood of the Lamb flow through her veins from the top of her head to the tips of her toes. Father, we just pray right now, Lord, for healing, Lord. We pray for healing because you are the great physician, Lord. We know this, Father, that you can do things we cannot, Father. We just ask that you work into this situation for the whole family.
Yes, Lord.
Just be with them, Father. Just touch them, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit flow through them, Lord, right now and always, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you
know
Stuart and Lynn so well. Thank you that you know them by name and you have created them in your image. And all goodness from you is flowing into their hearts. Lord, I thank you that your love is flooding in them and is holding them together, and your banner over them is love. Lord, I thank you that you knit them together in your love, in your unity, and provide for all their needs, strength and healing. Lord, I thank you that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross, and that he's not only taking our sin away, but all our sickness. And we thank you that you provide your healing touch for him, O Lord, that you come and nurture her and give her strength, O Lord. Give her your love and say, I am here with you. You're not alone. I never leave you, I never forsake you. Lord, be with the whole family, O Lord. And I thank you that Stuart has been given by you so much strength and love and wisdom in knowing what to do. Lord, we thank you for the family and for your abiding love unto them. Lord, I thank you that you strengthen me as she is in hospital right now. And bless the doctors and nurses who see to her, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as these prayers are being said, the song that comes to my mind is, He touched me. Oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. And I pray, Lord, that that might be Lynn's experience this morning, that she might know your touch just where she is. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, folks. Please go on praying for them, as I'm sure you will. Now, given time, I'm just going to name areas of the world and situations. We're not going to pray up them here, but take them home with you and pray. Lord, in your mercy, help us as we bring your world to you today, a beautiful world that you created, which is in such a mess. We bring Gaza to you, Palestine,
Syria, Russia, the Ukraine, the USA, our own country, and all people in positions of authority and power. Will you move amongst them by your Spirit? Will you give them clear wisdom, guidance, even if they do not know you, Lord? Will you take over so that peace might come? Help us, Lord, in those times when we're quietly alone with you to be reminded of these places and these situations and continue to bring them before you. We thank you. You're an amazing God. Amen. Thank you for your support there, folks. I'm just going to pray for Tone now as he comes to bring the word. Okay. Lord, thank you for your word, which is living and active. And you know that the preparation for this began a long time ago, but has come to fruition. And Lord, I pray that you'll empower Tony today to deliver what you have given him to share for the people here. Thank you, Lord, that we believe when we go and minister to people that the word is for them, not just anybody. So, Lord, will you take this today and bless this congregation through him in your name. Amen.
Amen. Hi. I would like to add my thanks to that which... to the thanks that Owenna has expressed. It's very interesting that we are part of a church at Meredith Row Baptist in Coventry, and we go out to different churches to lead services, including this one, and including Cowden Fellowship, that my brother is a co-leader on. And it's wonderful to feel... I mean, Stuart mentioned something in his prayer when we were out there about us being just part of the whole family of God. But we felt that you were drawing us in and welcoming us as part of your family when you expressed your love and your prayers for us. So I want to thank you for that. It was a real blessing. We did go through a difficult time, physically, emotionally, spiritually, the lot, hallucinations even. But God has brought us through. So thank you for that. It happened once before, not this particular illness, but I was ill once in the week before I was going somewhere to preach. And as I lay in bed suffering, I thought, I can't do this. So I phoned up and apologised and said I wanted to give you as much notice as possible that I don't think I'll be able to make it. And they said, oh, okay. Never heard from them again. And the contrast is wonderful, you know. That was years ago, and I've not been invited back. And here I am just a month or so later, and we're invited back with arms wide open. Welcome. As Owenna just indicated, I actually started to prepare this message just before I was taken ill. And when I was taken ill, I couldn't concentrate, I couldn't read, I couldn't focus. I was in a terrible mess. But the Lord held on to the message so that when I came through it, I picked it up again, and I believe it's right, and I believe it's right for you here this morning. Now, I am not very good at remembering names. I'm not very good at recognising faces either, to be honest. Let me give you some examples. Years ago, when we were pastoring the church at Lawrence Saunders Road in Coventry, a couple came into the morning service and afterwards came and spoke to me. And I thought, oh, vaguely familiar, he obviously knows me. And we chatted away. And then Owenna came to join us. and said to this couple, are you doing anything for lunch? Would you like to come round? Oh, yes, please. So we walked round to our house. When I went into the kitchen to stretch the meal, and I sat in the lounge for a while, and then I said, I'll just go and check on Owenna to see if she's okay. So I went into the kitchen to Owenna, and I said, who are they? And she said, I thought you knew them. As it turned out, we did know them, but from so many years ago, and now they live in Finland, and he's a pastor of a church there. And this is where I can boast, because I was invited to preach in Finland, I'm an international Bible teacher now. And Wales, if that counts. Right. Okay, so I'm not very good at remembering names. Owenna is much, much better. More recently, we were in the coffee shop in Marks and Spencer's. We do our shopping on Friday morning, and I carried the shopping bags in to a table while Owenna goes to the counter to hand pay. She gets points. And there was a lady that, as she's already indicated, she started talking to. I thought, somebody she knows. And then I heard her say, Tony's over there, why don't you come and sit with us? And I'm thinking, oh. So this lady came across while Owenna was finishing getting our coffees. And I thought, yes, I know your face, I don't know who you are. So instead of being honest and saying, I'm sorry, you're out of context or my memory's not serving who I am, I said, when was the last time we saw each other? You know, that didn't work, got no clues there. Anyway, she came, sat down with her coffee, and we had coffee together, and she started talking. And then bit by bit, things clicked in my brain. She mentioned her children, and her children had slightly different names, distinct. And I thought, I've heard those names before. I do know this woman. Still don't know who she is, but, you know, bit at a time. Anyway, we left the coffee shop, said goodbye to her, turned to her and I said, who was that?
I did that.
So that's another example. And then last year at Meredith Road, there was a young couple in. They were actually brother and sister, and I did my best to go and welcome them and say hello and so on. And I actually was honest enough to say to you, if you come again, I might not know who you are. But that's how it, because I've done that. I've sat next to a couple, spoken to them, and asked their names and so on. And last time they'd come, I'd done exactly the same, but I'd forgotten them. So I have to say that this condition is not considered to be high on the list of abilities or qualifications of a pastor, which I was for about 25 years. It's a good job I made a winner, isn't it? Now, I may be rubbish at remembering names, but I remember the name of our son. Why? Because he is our son. And your name is known to the Father because you are his child. And he knows your name. Why am I making this point? I'm making it because I sense that so many Christians feel insignificant. They feel faceless, voiceless, insignificant, of no importance, and no sense of belonging. And if that's you, I want to tell you, you've been lied to. Many years ago, I made a birthday card for a friend of mine, and I used a picture on the front cover of a colony of penguins, or it could have been puffins, or, you know, where there are hundreds, if not thousands, in the one shot. And the caption that I put on this card was, you are one in a million. Now that's an interesting phrase, because you can have a negative version of that and a positive one. And I think the important thing is not to say just. Don't say, I'm just one in a million. Cut the just out and acknowledge that you are one in a million. You're special to God. In the world, I'm told there are something like 8 billion people growing, and it's easy to feel lost and alone. But you are one in a billion, one in 8 billion, and he knows your name. Why? Well, an old Graham Kendrick chorus tells us, I'm special because God has loved me. For he gave the best thing that he had to save me. That's the kind of people we are. We are special. And we're not special in and of ourselves. We're special because God looks upon us as his special child. So maybe you are someone who needs to change your thinking from being just one in a million to one in 8 billion. Someone special in the eyes of your Heavenly Father. Here's a scripture which I hope will enable you to make that transition in your thinking. It's Isaiah 43 verse 1. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. The NIV Study Bible tells us that the Hebrew underlying that expression is translated as chosen. So summoned, chosen and summoned. Do you remember in the old days? Everything for me now is in the old days. Go back to school on sports day. When the teacher picks two people to be the team leaders, and then those leaders, one by one, invite members onto their team. Your turn now, your turn. Okay? Until the very last person's there. And the leader might say, oh, well, I'll have him. Does he really feel chosen? No. And actually, I saw a clip on television a month or so back now, I think. It's a sporting event, and you know how the teams rejoice at winning or getting a goal or whatever, and they all have a group hug and they're cheering, and that's what was happening. But this lad was late getting to it, so the hug was going on, he was going and he couldn't get in. And I think that's how a lot of people, a lot of Christians feel nowadays. God says, I have chosen you. You are mine. Now, when you call something mine, we are attaching ourselves to it. We claim it. We recognize it. We take care of it. And in many ways, we have a responsibility for it. And of course, we have a name for it. Just think of all the things you can say mine about. And when God says, you are mine, he's saying that he has chosen us, drawn us to us, to him. He attaches himself to us. He claims us as his own. He cares for us. And he's saying, your welfare is my responsibility. And of course he knows your name. Remember that scripture that indicates that he knows the very hairs on your head? How can he know that and not know your name? That would be a nonsense, wouldn't it? In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, as translated by J.B. Phillips, it says this, you can throw the whole weight of your anxiety upon him, for you are his personal concern. Isn't that wonderful to know? Think, even though you're one of 8 billion people, you are his personal concern. No wonder we can't comprehend God. It's incredible, isn't it? David, as the psalmist, seems to have grasped this that we see in Psalm 139. You've searched me, Lord. You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, O Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Now, some people might think, that sounds a bit like stalking. I don't know whether you know the song that's around nowadays that has in the chorus, that God's love is running after. He's running after us. But it's more like that. It's not stalking. Stalking is uncomfortable. It's awkward. It is destructive. It's negative. But God is after us because he wants to show his love to us. Isaiah 49, verse 16. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Oh, just links in with the old chorus. He's got the whole world in his hands. So he's got big hands, so he can have yours, mine, and everyone's name engraved on his hands. In the Amplified version of that, he says, behold, I have indelibly printed, in brackets, tattooed a picture of you on the palm of each of my hands. God knows your name and says, you are mine. Jesus said, rejoice that your names are enrolled in heaven. How can he enroll names if he doesn't know them? He knows them. And Paul to the Philippians says, that those whose names are in the book of life. In the Garden of Eden, after his resurrection, Jesus didn't say, hey, woman over there. He said, Mary. And he'd already said, my sheep know my voice. Maybe you don't feel special at all. God knows all the tears that you have shed. Psalm 56, verse 8. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Now, there's a beautiful account in Mark's Gospel of the healing of the woman with the issue of blood, that Jesus is moving along, his disciples around him, a crowd, crowding him in, and she picks up the courage to just reach and touch the hem of his garment because she wanted to be healed. She had spent all that she had and was no better, was even worse. And she just had that spark of faith, if I could just reach out and touch him. And Jesus stopped, turned around, you know the story, who touched me? And they're saying, what do you mean, Lord? Look at all these people. Someone touched me because power went out of me. And the woman who had been healed was there and she owned up. And in the Chosen, I don't know how many people know of the Chosen, the series of the life of Jesus in film, it's wonderful, wonderful series. In that, it has the woman on the floor. I don't know how she felt then. She was healed, but she was the focus of attention. But Jesus kneels down in front of her and puts his hands on her face and says, daughter. No one would have anything to do with her up to that point. And now the Son of God says, daughter. That was a special moment for her. She had received her physical healing, and now Jesus brings a touch of healing to her very being. And when I mentioned earlier the song by the Gaithers from many years ago, the verse says, shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Now, maybe you can't bring yourself to believe it. And I would say, please do not grieve God by denying how much he loves you. Sometimes we may know something in our heads, but we don't feel it for all kinds of reasons. Things in our past, how people treat us, problems, and so on. But something I read recently is this. We are known as believers, not as feelers. We're not defined by how we feel, but by what we choose to believe. And my suggestion would be to find these various scriptures and read them often, preferably out loud. Declare them. Declare them. Thank God for them, for the truth of them. Act as if they are true, and you'll find that they are true. And a lovely phrase I use a lot in my preaching, and walk as if you're wearing a crown. Can you imagine coronation time? I still think of Queen Elizabeth rather than King Charles, but with that crown on, she's got to walk upright, hasn't she? If she walked with her head bowed down, that crown would fall off. And you and I have got crowns in store for us. So walk tall. In the Psalms, and I think this is probably in the King James Version, it says, you are my joy and the lifter of my head. And I have this picture of Jesus coming to someone like this, and he puts his hand under the chin, lifts them up, and expresses his love and joy. Walk as if you're one who's wearing a crown. And there is one allocated. In fact, if you look at Scripture, there appear to be, I don't know, 3, 4, or 5 different expressions of this. And I don't know whether they're all names for this one crown, or they're all different crowns, and whether you wear one on a Monday and one on a Tuesday. I don't know how it works. As I said, our God is unfathomable. He's wonderful. But there is one allocated. In James 1, verse 12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trials, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And Paul, writing to Timothy, said, and now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. But when we get to heaven, if it's 5 crowns or 1, what have we got to do? Lay them at the feet of Jesus and acknowledge him as Lord and Saviour. I actually have some copies of those scriptures that I've used this morning, if anyone wants to take one afterwards. But for now, as we draw to a close, a word to those who know, feel, and rejoice in the fact that they are special because God loves them and gave the best thing that he had to save them. To you, I want to say, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when he brings to your attention someone who is clearly not feeling as you are, someone who's feeling out of things. Someone who feels that he or she is the last one to be chosen. Someone who feels unimportant and insignificant. Because when God wants to do something in a person's life, more than often, he chooses us to do it for him. He chooses us to act on his behalf. I'm sure God's heart is going out to Stuart and to Lynn. But this morning, through Awena, God got some of you to express it to them. Let's learn to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because he often uses us to achieve his purposes. And so we conclude. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And walk as if you're wearing a crown. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word that tells us how much we are loved. The greatest act of love the world has ever known was Jesus on the cross. Thank you for that. And we pray that something of your word here this morning might have touched the heart, have planted a seed to be nurtured and grown, so that your people might not just feel, but choose to rejoice that they have been chosen. Amen. We conclude with a song, not for us to sing, a song on a video that says, "He knows my name." And then Awena will conclude the service afterwards.
and he knows your name, but he hears when we call. Sometimes we feel, has God heard me? I remember when we were praying for our son, it took 27 years before God answered that prayer. But he'd heard all the time. So don't give up. It's interesting, isn't it, that when I was thinking that when Helen asked if we could come today because somebody else cancelled, they were going on holiday, so they needed to have everything early, so we prepared. And yesterday I spent time with God going over what I'd prepared, and there were some things he said, I want you to do something else. So, as we come to the end here, I was praying about you. And Helen, I'd like you to come forward for a moment, please, if you will. It is a good thing you know me, isn't it, really?
Just a bit.
Helen's been a real blessing to us. And I felt, God, it was our turn to give you a card today.
All right, thank you.
But I also want to pray over you, if that's okay.
Okay, yeah.
I couldn't believe when you told us your age. But I want to tell you, God hasn't finished with you yet. He's got a lot more in store.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me pray over you. Lord, will you bless Helen and keep her? Will you cause your face to shine upon her and be gracious to her? Will you lift the light of your countenance upon her? I love that phrase. And give her peace. Bless her in all she seeks to do and continues to do. For your glory. Amen.
Amen.
And I have a blessing for you too. You know me and my blessings. I do love the blessings of the Word of God. And there's one from Ephesians 3, verse 16. I want to pray over you this morning. I pray that from God's glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Wow. I was reminded that God has resources available for us, and all we need to do is ask. He is a God who delights to bless us, but we need to give him time to do it. So find yourself a quiet place where you live. Go in and shut the door and say to God, Lord, here I am. What would you have to say to me today? And the Lord bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.